Okay, so in the bulletin, I think I had responsibility to believe, and I kind of moved back and forth between responsibility or necessity, but both of them mean the same thing in my mind. So I named it, I changed it to necessity to believe, but essentially it's the same exact idea. When we say you're responsible to believe, you must believe. It's necessary, it's necessity to believe. So that's what we're looking at today. Again, just 3 points. And just lots of scripture here, so I'll do this. Probably won't take us a whole lot of time, but we'll do it as much time as we need. The necessity to believe. Belief is commanded. Belief is commanded. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is a command. I have a paragraph in your notes here, but believing in God's good news is not an option, but a command to each and every individual. Our belief is the one response God requires to save us. So there's at least 5 times that I've found it where it's listed as a command, as an imperative, in conjunction with salvation. I reviewed them all again this week. There's other commands and other words, or not other words, but other contexts other than salvation. But there's at least 5. An aorist imperative I have in your notes. There's different tenses in the Greek, and aorist is like a simple tense. It means without time. Sometimes people see it as a simple past tense, but in an imperative sense, it just pictures it as one response, an overriding response. So Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And I have them up here as well as in your notes. Believe, that's an imperative. You, sirs, what must I do to be saved? There's one command, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we use the term believe, we understand that there's content. We've already talked about that. There's something you have to believe in, things that you have to believe about Jesus, right? We're sinners. Jesus is a special person. Jesus was the substitutionary payment. He died and rose again as our substitutionary payment. So we're not using belief without that context. We're using it in that context. Mark 1:15. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. These are all present tense. It's so you can translate be believing or believe right now. It's another way I suppose you could say it. John 10:38. But if I do go away, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe the Father is in me and I in him. This is a command. Jesus was talking to a broader group of people. But he said, and he uses the term believe 3 times. You don't believe in me? If you don't believe me for me, believe what I do. That's what this is the context. And you know, look at the works and believe what's happening around you. John 12:36. While you have the light, believe in the light. Right? So that's the light that would be the revelation of God, the content that we're supposed to be. That you may become the sons of light. There you go. There's a birth there. You believe, and then you become the sons of light because you believe, right? And then John 14:11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. So both who Jesus is and what he has done are both valid entrances of belief in a sense. So belief is commanded, and we'll see that develop. The Bible views it as something that people must do. Thus, it's a command. So number 2 in your notes. Belief is obeying the gospel. Now, isn't it interesting? We're not saved by works, and we will not say that this constitutes a work. We're simply believing what God says has been done on our behalf. All right. So let's look at some verses with regard to that. And I put them up here on a slide. John 16:9. Notice Jesus said, I will give you the Holy Spirit who will convict you of sin. It was one of the things, and of judgment, right? Of sin because they do not what? Believe in me. People will die in their sins because they do not believe what Jesus has done in their behalf. So not believing is really a form of sin, okay? Acts 6:7, then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were, notice, obedient to the what? Faith or belief, right? A body of conduct that they had to believe. They were obedient to the belief. If you think of it that way, Romans 1:5, through him, through Jesus, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the belief among all nations for his name's sake. When we tell people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a command that they must respond to. That's a command that they must obey. They don't do anything. They simply take God at his what? His word, right? That is the gospel. Here's Romans 10:16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. How do you obey the gospel? He quotes Isaiah. He says, for Isaiah says, who has? He doesn't use the term obeyed. He uses the term what? Believed. Isn't that interesting? He equates believing with obeying. Obeying the gospel is what? It's not works. The gospel is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe what? Who Jesus is and what he's done to address our condemnation that we have from God, right? So they have not all obeyed the gospel. Romans 16:26, but now has been made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures has been made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the belief. If I can use that again, belief is obeying the gospel. Belief is obeying the gospel. It's not a work. That's just what God commands us to do. We need to believe what he says. We need to take him at his word. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That is all that God is requiring is simply take him for what he says. Take what he says as true. Let's look at a few more verses here. They're in your notes. Still under this same point. Belief is obeying the gospel. Look at Hebrews 5:9. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Now that sounds like work salvation until you understand that obey means believe, right? You're obeying the gospel. You're obeying the command to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, then that makes sense because there's no way any of us are saved if we are required perfect obedience. But we can be saved if, as the Bible teaches, that God gave Jesus to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, and we access that simply by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's another passage here that's very powerful, really. It's in the middle of a sentence. Paul is encouraging the Thessalonians in the midst of their persecution. He said, don't worry. This isn't how it all ends. It starts out, but you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed from heaven. Then it picks up here, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. And then those who do not what? The gospel. Obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, you might want to tie that with Hebrews 5:9, right? How that's together. They don't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These, the ones who don't obey the gospel, who don't believe the gospel, will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who what? See, there's that believe, obey, right? Tie in there. Because our testimony among you was what? Believed. He replaces obeyed with believed again. It uses them interchangeably. How do we obey the gospel? We obey the gospel by believing the gospel. And that's all we can do, right? That's all we must do and can do. The back sheet. Boy, we're moving fast, aren't we? We won't even finish your snacks today. Who knows? Belief is the responsibility of each individual. Every person must believe in order to be saved. Each person, I should say, must believe in order to be saved. You cannot believe for somebody else. Somebody cannot believe for you. You must believe it, not just understand the facts. You must believe the facts, if you will. And let me just go down a large list. Notice a lot of them are in the book of John. This is not an exhaustive list. It's just a good representative list. So John 3:15, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's John 3:15, right? That whoever, and it's like opening it up. It's available to all, but each person must believe. Whoever believes. And then John 3:16, we're familiar with that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes, right? Belief is the responsibility of each individual. Each person must believe. And whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. A couple of verses later, he who believes in him is not condemned. And notice, I didn't get them all. I tried, but some of them are bold and some are underlined. But the pronouns. But he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's the individual responding. Right? That's why we say a person must believe to be saved. John 3:36. Again, pronouns. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. It's using them singularly, individually. So every person needs to believe to be saved. Each person needs to believe to be saved. If a large group believes in the Bible, it indicates that each person in that group believed. That isn't just a, you know, belief as a group. Every person believes. As an individual. John 5:24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. They're all individuals, right? He who believes, the one who believes. It's each person must believe. But then each one of these, by the way, is a promise. That if you do believe, you are saved, right? You're passed from death to life. John 6:47, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. That's a stated, like 1 John 5:1 that I told you. He who believes has been born of God. This is another verse that states it so boldly. He who believes in me has everlasting life. You don't have to worry about when it started. If a person is believing right now, he's saved, but it's every individual that believes in me has everlasting life. John 8:24, therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Right? And that ties it into the word believe again, over and over and over. John 11:25, this is Mary and Martha, and Lazarus had died, right? He says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He, if you want, the one who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Right? Each individual, this is true for anyone. It's a requirement, but also a promise. Every one of these. If you believe, though you may physically die, you will ultimately live, right? And whosoever lives is alive and believes in me shall never die. M.R.D. Hines saw this as the 1 Thessalonians 4 passage of the Gospels. The person is, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep that have died. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so also those who sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. That's, and those who are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord will be caught up with them in the clouds, right? So M.R.D. Hahn went on to say that, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That's those that are alive at the time of the rapture. John 12:46, I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. John 20:31, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. John says, that's the whole reason I wrote my gospel, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and you might have life in his name. Acts 13:39, and by him, every person, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. That's pretty strong. Just a few left here. Here's my favorite verse, probably my life verse. But to him, individual, who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith or belief is accounted for righteousness. You get Jesus A+ because you believe. Even though you're ungodly, he justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. And again, faith is just the noun form of the word. They could easily translate. They use the verb form believes and the noun form faith. I don't know why, but I would put belief in there when I translate. Romans 10:4, but Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to what? To everyone who what? Believes. It's just like overwhelming in the Bible. Over and over. And we'll ultimately say that, you know, show this. But whatever you use something else, repent or confess or call or whatever, you have to ignore all of these other passages to say that that counts and these do not. So whatever those are, they cannot undermine the overwhelming evidence that belief alone saves. Even if we don't understand, well, what does repent mean? Well, whatever it means, it cannot mean anything but believe to be saved. Okay? A few more here. Here's 1 Thessalonians 4 we talked about. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. By the way, that phraseology is only used to believers, never unbelievers, fallen asleep. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. I was at a funeral Friday. My brother's mother-in-law died, a funeral in Slater. And it was sad, but a joyous occasion. It's completely different when you go to a funeral of a saved person. Then we're sad, but we're not that sad because it's not over, right? We have hope. For if we what? Believe what? That Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Excuse me. It's not the whole passage, but if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, right? Over and over and over, it says that in the Word of God. 2 Thessalonians 1:3-10. I'm only quoting verse 10. Right? I'm giving you bigger passages, but only giving you a representative slice of each one. But verse 10, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who what? Believe. Not all the ones that persevered. Mark and I were talking about that right before Sunday school. But those who believe, because our testimony among you was believe. Over and over, it's like, what do you misunderstand about this word? Over and over and over. And then here's the verse that God used to give me an understanding where I quit doubting my salvation. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is, or literally you can say has been and continues to be, born of God. Each one of these is individual, but it all, each one points back to believing. It is our responsibility, necessity to believe, but it's clear that it's required. But when we do, we're saved. We're born into the family of God. We're forgiven all the things that happen when we're saved. We're passed from death to life. We become part of the body of Christ. All of those things happen when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, questions. And you understand why it frustrates me, because if people point to one verse and then ignore all these other verses, that's a problem. Right? We need to stick with what the Bible overwhelmingly teaches. If this can say, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born or remains born or has been born and continues to be born of God, then none of the other verses can countermand or undermine that. They have to mean something that parallels or coordinates with this, because the Bible does not contradict itself. And I will offer that it doesn't, you won't find a contradiction. Next week, we're going to talk about, is baptism required, right? Mark 16, repent and be baptized. Or I guess that's Mark 1. Repent and believe for the forgiveness of sins. Or Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. We're going to look at that. And it's like, well, how does that correlate with this statement? It doesn't mean you're saved by repenting, unless repent means believe. That's my view. But it certainly doesn't mean you have to be baptized, because none of these other verses say that. There's three or four passages that you like, well, do you have to be baptized to be saved? The rest of them never enter in, never say it. So it can't be baptism. So what's the, how do we understand those passages, for example? Questions, comments? It's not hard. Go ahead, Don.
That's all it takes to have a Christian.
Well, technically I believe that, but we taught there's certain things you must believe. It's not that to believe that there is a Jesus, right? That's different. You can believe in a historical Jesus like you can believe in a historical George Washington, right? I believe in George Washington. I believe that he existed, right? But to believe on Jesus, we talked about three things. And I don't know if you remember, but SP, SP, SP. SP, the first one is you have to believe that you have a sin problem, right? That we are against God. We're separated from God. The second thing is you have to believe that Jesus is a special person. He's the Son of God, not just a historical figure. He's God in the flesh, right? And then the third thing is that you have to believe, when we understand that Jesus is the Christ, this is at the end of the Bible. So when somebody says Christ, oh, they understand that you mean all that means, that he is the Son of God and that he is the Savior through the substitutionary payment and resurrection, that he died and rose again, right? For that sin that we talked about. So I would say those three things. So if someone would say, well, I believe in Jesus, well, then I would probe and I say, well, what do you believe about Jesus? Right? Because there's more to it than. But the Bible teaches that you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord is like deity. Jesus, the word Jesus means Savior, right? And Christ is the promised one of God. You don't have to be able to theologically define those terms, but you have to understand what that represents. He's not just a trite person that someone believes in. He is the one way to God. And he's my way to God because I deserve punishment. Jesus has taken my punishment. He died for me and rose again. So I would just go into that.
Well, I, Aye. Believe about it, says about people.
Right.
They say, well, what do I have to do to get paid? I say, you need to pray to God. Now, like, you're God. But if you have to do it, believe in Jesus Christ, the Lord of life. And they ask God for forgiveness, but you. Maybe on the phone, if you want to wait for the sin, that's all I can put in.
Juan, I know it sounds confusing right now, but I don't even believe that it requires praying. Right, right. And I'm saying it expresses some things, but I would, you know, I would, there's nothing wrong with praying, but I would, you pray because you believe, not in order to believe, if that makes sense. You're praying. So I would do it as like an affirmation, pray to God and thank him for what Jesus has done for you, you know, something like that. But the Bible says, believe in, take him at his word. Do you acknowledge that you're a sinner? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he took your place on the cross, died for you and rose again? On that basis, if you believe that, I believe the Bible is abundantly clear that you're saved. Now, we like to have somebody, and I'm not making fun of anyone who thinks this, but we like to see someone do something. And I would love to, you know, come down the aisle, pray in the front, you know, do whatever. We like that. That's natural and good. I wish God would put a green light right here when people believe. Wouldn't that be nice? Right? Oh, what's the funny green light in your head? And it's like, I know what that is. You're a believer. It's like, no, it's the fact that you take God at his word. But that's how your birth, it doesn't make you a full-grown believer either, right? It doesn't mean instantly you're doing everything you're supposed to do. You don't even know what you're supposed to do. It's like a baby. So we have to separate behavior from belief too, things like that. It's a process to get us to walk like a child of God, but it's an instantaneous promise to be born as a child of God. So what you're saying is not wrong, you know, not bad or wrong. I think it just needs to be refined. But I think it's that easy. The Bible says, unless you become like a little child, you'll no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. It's that simple that it becomes hard because people want to do something.
That's the hard part. We understand.
Yeah.
Topic somebody put on part of the draft, you just have to read our teeth.
Right. And even when I'm working with children or adults, I opt, instead of trying to pressure them to make a decision, I just keep teaching them. Because I believe as they understand it, belief can happen as they understand it. So I'm not as concerned about being able to say, this is when they did it, so that I can count it on my, notch it on my belt or whatever. You know, we had three people say, I want to make sure they understand it. And the Bible says, as Paul would preach or teach, many believe. They understand it and they embrace it. It's a process to get to the point where you believe. And so I don't ever try to force that, because understanding is where belief happens ultimately. So take your flowers and go home, dude. Yeah, that doesn't happen much. People say talk more. Anyway. No, it's because I wrestled as a child with assurance of salvation. And you have to get to the point, what does the Bible really say? And I think the more accurate we can explain it, the more helpful we are. And sometimes we're saved not because people explain it clearly, but we still understand that Jesus died and rose again for my sins. So in the mix of the confusion, I'm still a believer. It's just I'm confused a little bit. So, but it's good. And I honestly believe, too, the gospel is the power of God to salvation. And it takes the Spirit working in a person's heart and mind, so that we use the Word of God, but the Holy Spirit helps them to understand it. So it's thankfully, it's not just Don or Kevin's effort. But we have to share the gospel, and that's what God uses to transform people and help them to understand and believe. All right. Well, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the truths of God's word. Help us to know them well, rest on them for our own salvation, and Lord, share them with others clearly and accurately so that people can understand, to be grounded and be saved. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.